Except the Lord build the house. Elder Oscar Akerkum, Oscar Akerkum, Conference Report, April 1950, pages 149-152. I pray that I may enjoy the blessings of the Spirit of the Lord. I am very grateful today that across our good land millions of Americans have wended their way to the great churches, to the hilltops, and to the mountaintops, where they have listened to the word of the Lord. They have been lifted up on this glorious Easter day as you and I have been lifted up. Gratitude for America. I am grateful for America. My path has led me into the companionship of men from nearly every state in the Union. I have in my meditations this day tried to place myself where they might be fine Christian men. And I am grateful and I have faith in this glorious land. That faith has been built up because of my religious training and the words that have been spoken through the prophets of this land as recorded in the Book of Mormon. Someone has said recently, and I sincerely believe that it is true, that what America says and does in the next 50 years will mark the destiny of the world. How important is our place among the children of men, and we, of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the majority of us tucked away in these western hills, having received the Word of God, how great is our responsibility and opportunity. I have faith that great works are not only requested of us through the prophets of today and yesterday, but that they shall also be fulfilled. Power of the Spirit. The great Thomas Edison said of Steinmetz that he had the greatest mind of any American. On his deathbed, Steinmetz, with his students about him, said, "Most of our discoveries have been of the material world, but the discoveries of tomorrow will be of the Spirit." I have faith in that. I believe we will witness new powers upon the earth, and they will be of the Spirit. Napoleon said there are two powers in the earth, that of the Spirit and that of the sword. Then in a moment of reflection he added, "But the Spirit always overcometh the sword." In the 127th Psalm are these great words of counsel, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." I feel that I am not taking any undue privileges if I may add to those sacred words, "Except the Lord build a life, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the city, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the state and the nation, they labor in vain that build it." I would like to read the words of one of our great presidents. "Our civilization cannot survive materially unless it be redeemed spiritually. It can be saved only by becoming permeated with the Spirit of Christ. Only thus can discontent be driven out, and all the shadows be lifted from the road ahead." Brigham Young's counsel. From this very pulpit, Brigham Young counseled with the saints, "When you go into the field to plow, be sure you take the Lord with you. When you go about your business, be sure the Lord is with you, also in your dealings with men." And here are his words further, "No man of counsel should sit to judge the people, but what should judge in the Lord, that he may righteously and impartially discern between right and wrong, truth and error, light and darkness, justice and injustice. Should any legislature sit without the Lord? If it does, sooner or later it will fall to pieces. No nation ever did live that counseled and transacted its national affairs without the Lord, but sooner or later went to pieces and came to naught. The same is true of all the nations that now live or that ever will live." United Nations, you and I are living in a great time, but in my reading and in my meditations I have been tremendously interested in what 59 nations of this earth are now doing about these great principles of which we speak. When they first met in San Francisco, they said, "No, we cannot have vocal prayers. Here is the Confucianist, here is the Buddhist, here is the Jew, here is the Christian. We must have no certain prayers." They started about their business, and soon they found that something greater than themselves must come among them if they accomplished that which was in their hearts to do. They agreed on 1 minute a day of silent personal devotion, and then time went on. And if you have recently been to New York City, and gone down 42nd Street to the East River, you will see where blocks of buildings have been torn down, through the leadership of a great Christian American institution, the Rockefeller Foundation. A glorious gift has been made to these 59 nations and to those who may follow later. They have built a great building. It is now nearing completion, and in the center of it is a chapel to prayer. There are no pulpits, no stained windows, merely a granite slab that marks the great sacrifice of millions. But above it, a shaft of light falls from the heavens, representing that eternal power and promise which will strengthen the hearts of men and give them faith in the great cause of peace. Yes, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And when we think of the great purposes of our Heavenly Father in the destinies of men and nations and our humble part, we must be patient. We must have faith. God grant to us that working faith that you and I can participate in daily. Let every man and woman in this assembly feel, "I am a missionary, I'm a part of that great league that is working for peace and happiness of all men throughout the world." That neighbor that lives nearby, speak to him. Don't be afraid, courageously go, carry to him the word of God. The Lord will sanctify your words and open the hearts of men. You are the messenger of truth and happiness. Work for brotherhood. Let us work for the brotherhood of man. I was happy to receive a report from one of our 70s quorums in Utah County. On the highway one day an automobile ran over a fine boy and killed him. The father and mother were brokenhearted, but the next morning 21 men were on the porch. 21 men were extending love and comfort, showing real brotherhood and offering their services to bless that home. I walked down the street of a small village in Maui one day with a Hawaiian woman, one of the presidency of the Relief Society. As we walked along, she said, "You see that building over there? Well, I have a very dear friend, a Chinese woman, who lives there. I went to visit her when we were building the temple at Lai. I asked her if she would like to contribute to the building of the temple, and although not a member of the church, she said, "Oh, yes, I believe in temples. I'd love to assist." We chatted for a few minutes and then left her. 8 months later I was coming down this way again, and I thought, why, I haven't been to see my Chinese friend. So I went over and said, "Have you forgotten our conversation?" She said, "No, I've been waiting for you to come. Have you a purse or something to put the money in?" I took out of my bag a small black purse, and she said, "Oh, I'm afraid that will not hold what I have saved for you." She went into another room and brought back a bowl containing coins and other money. She said, "If you'll kindly open your apron." I opened it, and the Chinese woman poured the money into my lap. I said to her, "Is this all for the temple? Do you mean for me to take it all?" "Oh, yes," she said, "you may have the money. I have the blessing. May God help us to know when we turn our hearts in love toward mankind that the resurrection then is happening to us. The gift of God is with us, the greatest gift bestowed upon mankind. The Lord is then building the house. For these things I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."